Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint here on a Friday. We're live on June 6, 2025 from high above downtown Billings, Montana, broadcasting to our audience worldwide here on Montana Talks. Beautiful view of the Beartooth here this morning. Aren't we lucky to be in Montana during the summer? Who's going to be getting outside and camping and hiking and fishing this weekend? As Aaron and I always like to joke about, we know John Tester's not going to be doing that, but luckily for all of us out here, we will be this weekend. Lots to talk about here nationally, obviously, with the Trump-Musk deal going on. We've got national economic data. We got news out of the Supreme Court. We got the big, beautiful bill to talk about. Wanted to talk a little bit about some local stories here just to start the 6 a.m. hour off. Right. Apparently, this is kind of funny. The Billings Chamber of Commerce does this rural ag tour. It honestly sounds like the Democrats with their, how are we going to talk to men? And we're going to send anthropologists out into the American heartland to study these exotic creatures known as the American male. And we can come up with a study about how to talk to them. This is a story from QT. Marcus Kakova says the Yellowstone County is more than 1.6 million acres. 95% is classified as farmland. But much of that reality is hidden beneath the spread of Billings buildings and neighborhoods. And then they quote the Billings Chamber, and then they go on in here and talk about how they do this ag tour. It's a day-long journey that takes attendees outside the city limits. Whoa, the Billings Chamber taking people outside the city limits and into the state's rural heart, professional networking, and a first-hand look at the operations that keep Montana fed. There's some folks that know and breathe ag, and then there's some folks that don't know the nose from the tail of a cow. Anyway, I just thought that was funny because it's like, it sounds so similar to what the Democrats are doing with their initiative about how to talk to American men, and frankly, I'm assuming they're also looking at how to talk to conservative American women who don't live on the East Coast and West Coast. And then to see something like that out of the Billings Chamber was just kind of funny. There's a story about the Billings City Council looking at an increase in the fire department budget. And, of course, this follows an earlier story earlier this week about the Billings City Council looking at the police budget. So a couple of days ago here in Billings, the Billings City Council was looking at the police budget. And, of course, they're all bent out of shape because the state cut property taxes. And, here was the other thing. I heard recently that that's some of these property tax reforms, like, blew out the cap limit, the mill cap limit for the Billings City. But I don't know if they're actually going to blow it or if somebody's going to file a lawsuit to prevent them from blowing it. But they've had a couple of meetings here recently about the fire department budget, the police budget. Was going to give a quick update on that here before we get into the later hours of the show. Just try to get some of these Billing-centric stories off the desk here. Open phones. Give me a call, 294-0970.
Securing America.
Today marks 81 years since D-Day. The Allied invasion launched in Normandy, which helped free France and Europe from Nazi control. In a letter to the troops ahead of D-Day, then-Allied Commander General Dwight Eisenhower wrote that they were fighting towards the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed people of Europe and security for ourselves in a free world. Several Americans revisited D-Day sites recently. Former fighter pilot Wally King spoke of his generation's desire to put the war behind them.
They didn't want to talk about the war, so they didn't pass those experiences on to their children and grandchildren.
Former gunner Jack Myers reflected on the sacrifices made on D-Day.
Over 9,000 years. Can you imagine that? Given for our freedom.
Last year, the Department of Veterans Affairs estimated only about 66,000 American World War II vets remained alive. Kevin Uresky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny to partly cloudy skies across the area for today, high temperatures will stay from the mid-70s to around 80. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies. Overnight lows around 50 in Bozeman to the mid-50s in Billings. And then Saturday's forecast calls for more sunshine, with highs in the mid-70s in Bozeman to around 80 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. That's Noble with a K. I'm an attorney here in Billings. You can find me online at LectureFan on X and YouTube and Twitch and Instagram and everything else. LCTRFAN. Okay, so here's the deal. I like Jennifer Owen, City Councilwoman Jennifer Owen, candidate for mayor, very much. She's got some interesting quotes in this Q2 article from a couple of days ago when they were looking at the police department budget. Now, remember, during the legislative session when this whole thing came up about, well, if we cut property taxes at the state level, then, you know, Billings might not get as much tax revenue as they did before because they have a mill levy cap in their charter and blah, blah, blah. And that was this huge thing. And then all the Yellowstone County legislators met and said, we'll work on it. We'll go back to Helena. Well, apparently they ended up passing something that blows out the mill levy cap. And so the city council Billings recently was meeting about this, and Q2 talks about how they're looking at their budget, and it all stems from the legislature passing laws that would decrease property taxes but actually lower tax revenue for Billings. Oh my goodness, we can cut taxes, guys, but boy, we don't want the city to have less tax revenue. We can't have that. So council member Jennifer Owen is quoted as saying, we're obviously in a very difficult financial situation due to some of the property tax changes statewide. And so they go in there and they talk, oh, we're going to do this with these fire department or with these police positions, blah, 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 blah. But what's interesting is Owen's quoted in here saying the city has to raise the mills because of two bills passed in the last legislative session. And she says, that's a very controversial provision. But it is written in state law as a requirement. It's not discretionary. As the city council, we are told we must levy the additional taxes by the estate. So if you're not following here, folks, everybody else gets a tax cut in Montana. But in Billings, they have to raise the levies and increase the levies. And here's the problem, okay? It was thought that the state would provide some help to Billings with the charter, limiting the number of mills, but now that no longer appears to be the case. There's been a lot of rumors out there that the city of Billings was somehow made whole in these property tax bills. That's not true. And so, look, these property taxes are so obtuse and so difficult to understand and so confusing, and intentionally so, I might add. But this whole idea that so during the legislative session, they were saying, oh, we're going to have to cut police and fire. This is horrible, horrible, horrible. And then apparently there's apparently we've blown the charter cap, but it's not enough to make the city whole, so the city still has to do. Who the heck knows? But here's the problem, okay? And I can't remember who I heard this from, or who, maybe it was on Montana Talks, but somebody had suggested basically that if anybody in the city of Billings would actually file a lawsuit against the city to say, no, you can't raise those mills pursuant to the city charter, that could potentially be a successful lawsuit. And again, this is not, I'm just repeating sort of what I've heard out there. I'm throwing it out there to the listeners to call in on this. We've got open phones all morning long, 406-294-0970. Please give me a call or send us a message, 294-0970, or on the Montana Talks app. But if that, I mean, it kind of, and I'm just kind of thinking out loud here, it would make sense how that would theoretically stand a chance. Because if you think about it this way, the city of Billings, the people here in Billings, we've adopted a city charter. Okay, and that city charter says that there is a limit on the amount of property taxes that they can put on us. And that's pursuant to our city charter. Okay, and what's that city charter done pursuant to? That city charter is done pursuant to the Montana Constitution that allows cities to implement city charters like that and to put property tax limitations and property tax increase limitations in the city charter. So then how can a bunch of legislators from Missoula and Helena and Bozeman and Great Falls, wherever, go to Helena and vote for something that says, the people of Billings and what you guys have agreed to in your charter, that's no longer valid. Now, I understand certainly that the state, you know, typically, you know, would have control over sort of city code. The state can obviously pass laws overturn or are more powerful than or are supreme over, you know, city codes or city ordinances, things like that. But a city charter may just be a little bit different simply because it's the actual charter. And think about it from like a democracy standpoint. It's like, how is that right that the people of Billings, here in the city of Billings, we've all agreed we don't want property taxes going up that much. We want to put a limit on this. We want a mill levy limit, an increase in the mill limit. And then Helena says, now because we're gonna mess with the property tax code, we're gonna do all this stuff, and that might impact Billings' budget. So yeah, even though you people in Billings, even though you put in that in your city charter, that's fully valid, that's pursuant to Montana's constitution, now we're just going to, up here in Helena, we're just going to get a bunch of legislators from elsewhere, right, from outside of Billings, to pass a statute, not a constitutional amendment, a statute at the state level, that overturns our city charter. That doesn't sound right to me. I mean, that just doesn't sit right to me, just on common sense level, basic level. So apparently somebody out there needs to file a lawsuit, and that could save all of us a whole lot of money on our property taxes. And then they can figure out somewhere to cut other than police and fire.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Democrats argued that House Republicans approved the Big Beautiful Bill in the middle of the night. Quote, "Why are we here at 3 a.m. fast-tracking this bill?" asked Democratic Vermont Representative Becca Ballant during the House debate on the measure at 3:15 in the morning. The House debated the package well past the witching hour, but lawmakers approved the bill just before the break of dawn, precisely at 7 a.m. There haven't been many all-night sessions in Congress lately, especially when moving a piece of legislation of this magnitude during off hours, coated with high drama and towering political stakes. But it's not surprising that the House had to burn the midnight oil on three different occasions just to finish the package. That's typical for massive legislation with exponential consequences. Whether it's good is another question. And since Congress was up all night, it's of little surprise that GOP New York Representative Andrew Garbarino fell asleep and missed the vote. No wonder that talking about Congress is usually enough to put people to sleep. But with hours like these, if you snooze, you lose. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Economists and plenty of other people are worried about the future, as they should be. Inflation, taxes, government debt, national security. There are plenty of things to worry about, but it's useful sometimes to think about where we've been. And for the U.S. economy as a whole, it's been an exceptionally good performance. Back in the year 2000, the U.S. economy was about 20% smaller than the European Union, as Lynn Thoman said recently on a Three Takeaways podcast. Today, we're almost 30% bigger. Mississippi, the least wealthy state in the country, is wealthier than France today per capita. The U.S. remains the largest single market in terms of spending power in the world. Our risk tolerance, low levels of regulation and taxes, and especially our outsized tech sector have contributed to these outcomes. There are threats to this dominance, particularly from China, which trains six times as many engineers as we do. But we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that the American economic engine is unmatched for growing the economic pie we all share. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Town of Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network. I'm Lane Northland. RCAF USA is calling on Congress to pass the Pet and Livestock Protection Act of 2025. The legislation, introduced in January by Colorado Representative Lauren Boebert and Wisconsin's Tom Tiffany, seeks to remove the gray wolf from the endangered species list and return management authority to individual states to manage, like Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming currently do. RCAF CEO Bill Bullard.
We have to achieve a balance between the desire of people to have wolves in the wilderness, but we also have to protect the economic and financial interests of those whose livelihoods depend on their ability to maintain their livestock herds.
Bullard added that wolves do not have to kill an animal to financially devastate a ranch.
The wolves will traumatize an entire herd and cause problems with conception, cause problems with gaining weight for calves, separating calves from the cows. There's all kinds of problems associated with wolves that are preying upon a cattle farmer or rancher or sheep producer's livestock.
That was RCAF USA's Bill Bullard. This is the Western Ag Network.
Take a deep breath in. Ground yourself in this moment. What do you hear? That's the sound of a juicy steak being cooked to perfection that provides 10 essential nutrients like protein, iron, and B vitamins to support your well-being. Delicious and nutritious. You really can have it all. Check out beefitswhatsfordinner.com for recipes. Funded by Beef Farmers and Ranchers.
Growers across the region have successfully planted another Molson Coors barley crop, and before too long, combines will be rolling through the Golden Lake field. Hi, this is Jackson Osh from Sweetgrass, Montana. Bill Coors coined the phrase, barley is to beer as grapes are to wine. That's why Molson Coors uses Moravian barley, a variety bred to be one of the highest quality and best yielding varieties available. There's a little bit of Colorado, Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming barley in every Coors banquet and Coors Light. We are proud to raise barley for Molson Coors, a company known for always supporting farmers in rural America.
Many farmers are asking the question, has the wheat market finally hit its bottom? Well, the current spring wheat market shows striking similarities to the 2021 rally, driven by worsening drought in key growing areas and heavy fund short positions. DTN reports that in 2020 through 2021, a major drought and unexpected demand pushed Minneapolis wheat prices from $4.90 to $10.86 a bushel in 15 months. Now, managed money traders are holding record short positions, just as USDA crop ratings and weather forecasts suggest deteriorating conditions in the U.S. and Canadian spring wheat regions. Only 45% of the U.S. spring wheat crop was initially rated good to excellent, tying the worst start since 1988. Now, ratings have improved to 50% good to excellent. They still remain well below expectations. Weather forecasts are for hot, dry conditions through summer and Canadian drought continuing to worsen. And despite bullish fundamentals, including global weather risks and geopolitical tension in the Black Sea region, funds remain heavily short across wheat markets. A disorderly short covering rally is possible, especially with technical indicators showing bottoming patterns, according to experts. Traders are urged to consider both marketing opportunities and risk management strategies amid the potential for a 2021-style price surge in the market. Again, we'll continue to track that here on the Western Ag Network. I'm Lane Northblond.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble in for Aaron Flint. 406-294-0970 is the number. 406-294-0970 if you want to be on the show. Just finishing up this billing story. The latest is they had a work session about the Billings Fire Department. The fire department's budget is about $1 million more from last year. The fire chief says in the operating budget, kind of broken down a little bit further, 82% goes to personnel. The city of Billings is starting in a budget shortfall. The proposed fire department budget would potentially increase almost $1 million to more than $29 million for the fiscal year. Councilman Roy Neese is quoted as saying, where can you bring that down to where you're actually like the police is cutting another $630,000 out of your budget instead of increasing almost $1 million? Anyway, so it's just interesting to see that they're actually not cutting fire apart despite some of the, you know, threats from the city during the legislative session. Council member Jennifer Owens quoted as saying, there's a few positions that are currently vacant and will be left vacant, but with fire in particular, we know we have real infrastructure needs we don't want to get behind. Councilman Scott Aspenlider is quoted as saying, sometime in the next 10 years, we're going to have a pretty expensive issue with our stations. We've got to be proactive about that. Please get that rolled into this fiscal year through vacancy savings as you're going to go through that. So anyway, the city of Billings is going through that stuff. I'm still just interested in seeing if they're actually, I'd love to see a lawsuit, frankly. I'd love to see a lawsuit against the city saying, no, you can't increase these mills like that. Sorry, the city charter trumps the statutes. That's what I'd like to see. No idea if that's actually going to happen. The Big Sky Economic Development touts $1.5 billion in construction spending in Billings. This is the kind of stories you see and you're like, and how can they not lower property taxes? How can they not, you know, get relief for the long-term residents of Billings when you've got this much economic activity going on? Just as a Charlie Klepp story. By the way, I called out Charlie Klepp the other day for using the word unhoused, because there's this horrible story here out of Billings as well with respect to crime that's going on in this city. And just recently, there was a daycare here in Billings that had some bums, some homeless people, jump over a fence and steal gas out of its vehicles. And Charlie Klepps did a story calling them unhoused. And I called Charlie Klepps out on that. I'm like, Charlie, look, I like Charlie Klepps as much as the next guy, but why is he using that word to describe bums and homeless people? That's, you know, and then I sent out a tweet. I was like, I was just sitting here minding my own business when the American left became communist and started, you know, police speeching. So, yeah, I am a little bit sensitive about it. Economic Development Corporation is estimating more than $1.5 billion of construction projects underway or coming to Billings. Of course, you've got the new veterinary medicine school at Rocky Vista out on the West End. You've got an $11 million nursing education building for MSU Billings, $52 million investment in the Army National Guard training facility. Not an investment, that's just spending. I don't know why the media is calling that an investment. Certainly, you wouldn't expect a return, a certain percentage return on that money. You'd expect increased in lots of other things, but you wouldn't expect a return on your money like it was required for investment. Just one of my pet peeves there is when people call government spending investing. It's like if you took your credit card and you went out shopping and went on a spending spree, and then when the rest of your family was wondering I invested money in this and I invested. No, you didn't invest. That's just spending. It's just one of my pet peeves when people call spending, going on a spending spree, a blowout spending spree, and then you say, oh, I was investing. No, that's not investing. Going on blowout spending sprees is not investing. Quit calling it that. $41 million seven-story Marriott hotel coming to downtown Billings, $1 billion regional medical center for Intermountain Health, $16 million Signal Peak Energy Ice Arena, $21 million multi-sport rec complex at Ammon Park. And so lots of stuff going on in Billings. Great news there. But yeah, the city can't seem to give us long-term residents any kind of break. And in fact, all they want to do is just increase taxes and blow the mill cap and then take all this money and then cut police and fire. And it's just... It's that liberal Billings City Council, hopefully getting a little bit better here as we go forward. Let me see if I can play a little bit of Hannity from last night. I was listening to this and thought it would be good to play. Let's see if I can figure out how to do this.
Flurry of activity today at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And yes, let not your heart be troubled. I will address the battle between President Trump and Elon Musk. I know it's of such great international importance. But first, there is fresh scrutiny surrounding Joe Biden and a hardworking auto pen. Take a look.
Somebody said auto pen. Did I hear the word auto pen?
I'm just curious.
Because I think it's the biggest scandal maybe in the last 100 years in this country. So when I hear that word, I think it has to be discussed because the fake news will try and, you know, hide it, and we can't do that. We can't ever allow that to happen to our country. The danger our country is in, and I know some of the people that worked with him, radical left, horrible people. And I could give you the name of some of the people that used the auto pen, because I'm here, and I ask questions about people that were here also. There are a lot of people that were here when that happened, and they're here right now, and they'll answer your question very accurately. But I know some of the people that use that auto pen, and those are not the people that had the same ideology as Joe Biden.
Shout out to Sean Hannity there for covering that story last night instead of the big one everybody else is talking about.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. Open phones 406-294-0970. If you want to be on the show, 406-294-0970. I think that pretty much does it for the Billings sort of specific news that I wanted to get to. Although there was there's a couple of other things here. First students from the Billings Opportunity School are going to be graduating Saturday. Six seniors are going to cross the stage at graduation at First Interstate Arena at Metro Park in Billings Saturday. The students will be the first to complete their journey through the Billings Opportunity School. That's pretty cool. Oh, and then here's the story that Charlie Kleps wrote about the Billings daycare frustrated after fuel is stolen from their 12-passenger van. Two suspects jumped the fence and stole fuel from a literal children's daycare. These people must be so evil to have done this. What they talk about in here is how basically these people are bums. These are homeless people. And Billings police confirmed they're investigating the incident, which was caught on the surveillance video. The video clearly shows suspects getting out of the van and exiting the parking lot a little after 7:30 a.m. They obviously know that this comes from the homeless bums in the area who Charlie Kleps calls the unhoused population. The unhoused population. So I called, I was poking a little good-natured fun at Charlie Kleps for calling them the unhoused population when... It's like, does any normal human being in Billings or in Montana refer to bums as the unhoused population? It's like, isn't that part of the problem is that it's, we've gotten so accepting of it and taken such a light touch. It's just like, no, like, especially if these are criminals who are stealing from a children's daycare. They don't deserve to have any, you know, niceties towards them. These are criminals. And frankly, how disappointing that the Billings police and Billings law enforcement cannot arrest these people and throw them in jail for doing this, whether it's You know, they can't track the homeless bums down from the video, or the jail is full, or whatever it is. This type of thing should not be happening, unfortunately. Let me continue with a little bit of this Sean Hannity clip, because this was just so good. Let's see if I can keep this going.
Oh, we've been saying it, and Trump is right. This is the biggest scandal in White House and presidential history. Everyone knew that Biden was a cognitive mess. Everyone covered it up. And then the questions are, who knew what, when did they know it, and who was really making the decisions? We need answers. That is a constitutional crisis of a magnitude we've never seen before. But this is already humiliating for Democrats and Joe Biden. And today, the former president, or somebody working for him, was forced to release a written statement promising that Joe was actually in charge during his time in the White House. Quote, I made the decisions about the pardons, the executive orders, legislation, proclamations. Any suggestion that I didn't is ridiculous. It is false. I don't even have confidence that he wrote that, and nobody should. Now, of course, to most Americans with eyes to see and ears to hear, it doesn't seem so ridiculous. You see, Joe couldn't make his way down from a podium without plenty of direction. So it's kind of hard to believe that he was calling the shots on dozens and thousands in the end. Pardons, other complex executive actions. Was he even aware that an auto pen was being used to sign so many official actions? We need answers. Now, the House Oversight Committee Chairman, James Comer, is now officially subpoenaed Biden's White House doctor. This investigation is off and running. Now, meanwhile, back at the White House, another high-stakes international call today. Now, yesterday it was Putin. Well, today it was President Xi of China. Take a look.
We had a very good talk. And we've straightened out any complexity. It's very complex stuff, and we straightened it out. The agreement was we're going to have Scott and Howard and Jameson will be going and meeting with their top people and continue it forward. But no, I think we have everything. I think we're in very good shape with China and the trade deal. We have a deal with China, as you know, but we were straightening out some of the points, having to do mostly with rare earth magnets and some other things.
Now, just to compare and contrast, Donald Trump is holding China accountable while engaging in tough but thoughtful negotiations. I predicted from the beginning we will come to a resolution because China does need access to our markets. And we need things for them, like rare earths, for example, at least temporarily. Under Biden, China, they were given a free pass to do whatever they wanted and put massive tariffs on our products and prevent American manufacturing from even having a shot at their markets. Now, in fact, Biden's DOJ even shut down Donald Trump's China initiative. Now, that was the China-focused espionage program at a time when China's spying was getting worse and worse and worse. And Joe even let Chinese nationals, remember, big scandal, it's still a scandal, buy up thousands and thousands of acres of farmland, ranch land, land near our military installations. Do you think President Xi would allow any American national in China to do that in China? Can I go into China and buy farmland or ranch land or land near their military installation? I don't think so. Just this week, a really dumb decision. Arizona's Democratic liberal leftist governor, Katie Hobbs, inexplicably vetoed a bill banning the Chinese nationals from buying up land near our U.S. military bases. This is reckless. This is dangerous. The Democratic Party's track record on China is horrific. And don't even get me started on the spy balloon. I'll lose my mind. Now, of course, the legacy media mob, they would rather you focus and obsess about the current conflict between Elon Musk and President Donald Trump. Now, the rift between these two men, I'll be the first to say it's sad, it's unfortunate. These are two titans of American industry and culture.
Sean Hannity then goes into the Trump Elon sort of feud that we've got going on. What I loved about that little clip, though, from how Sean Hannity started his show last night is he still actually is paying attention to the actual stories that matter as opposed to obsessing about the Elon Donald Trump feud, which we could do here. I mean, there's a lot of content there. I mean, I agree with Elon that it's sad to see, or with Sean Hannity there, that it's sad to see. But on the other hand, you know, I'm also not really surprised. Frankly, I was impressed that Trump and Elon got along as long as they did and were able to accomplish as much as they did. I always thought that this would fall apart because whenever you put, first of all, you can only have one leader, right? And Elon Musk and Donald Trump, I think, are both sort of used to being the leader in any situation. You put somebody like that, you know, the most powerful person in the world in Trump, the richest person in the world in Elon Musk. That just, to me, seems like you're just sort of, that's just it's inevitable that they're going to have a falling out. And so I just think that it's good that they were able to go as long as they did. And as I mentioned, talking to Aaron, I think it was last Thursday or a couple Thursdays ago, I'd said, look, I think what Elon Musk has done with Doge and what Doge is doing is going to be paying dividends long into the future. And I used the example sort of how they've finally started categorizing payments that are going out from the government. That type of a change is going to pay dividends later on. That type of a change will pay dividends, you know, after a year of doing it, after 2 years of doing it. That's when you'll actually have the data. The unfortunate reality, though, is Congress cannot seem to cut spending. And it doesn't matter what. Here's the other thing. It's like, I don't necessarily understand how in the big, beautiful bill, they can on one hand, they can say there's massive spending cuts in here. There's massive spending cuts. This is the biggest domestic spending cut ever. And then on the other hand, say, oh, well, you know, we can't actually do any kind of spending controls in this because this is a reconciliation bill. All we can do is this, you know, we need to do a different rescissions package. We need to do different appropriations. Well, which is it? You know, which is it? I mean, it's like, and then the size of the bill, how many pages the bill is and how long Congress had to look at it. It sort of just looks like business as usual up there in terms of these massive thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of omnibus bills. Now, here's the thing. I absolutely love a lot of what is in the big, big, beautiful bill. And, you know, I'm going to be happy when it passes because I think it's very, very important to have, you know, everything that's in there pass. I support it in that sense. I don't support this, the fact that the whole reconciliation process in and of itself is sort of gamesmanship, and having to use reconciliation instead of just regularly passing bills is just sort of gamesmanship. And so, and the fact that it raises the debt limit again, it raises the debt ceiling. I'm not in favor of that. I've always said, no, you should not raise the debt ceiling until you're on a balanced budget. That's been my view. And, you know, we're not on a balanced budget, unfortunately. So a lot to talk about. More next.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Is it any wonder assaults on ICE agents have jumped a whopping 413%? Tom Homan put it on his X account, a DHS post, a 413% increase in assaults. Well, what's going to happen as this doxing now has gone mainstream with now the House Minority Leader, you know, basically saying he will unmask and dox and identify ICE agents and put their lives in jeopardy, and doing it for what possible reason? Why would they allow people in this country unvetted in the first place? One House Democrat claims that Trump's immigration crackdown will leave Americans without anyone to wipe our asses. I'm not making that up either.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
We've got trade wars, inflation, skyrocketing national debt, and a potential recession looming. It's no wonder gold keeps hitting record highs. With everything going on in the world, thousands of hardworking Americans are looking to diversify their savings with precious metals like gold and silver. And they're turning to the top-rated gold company, Gold Co. With over 6,000 five-star customer reviews, an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, and the industry's highest buyback guarantee, Gold Co. is the preferred precious metals company of thousands of Americans. Right now, Gold Co. is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you could get unlimited bonus silver if you qualify. Find out how you can help diversify your savings, tax and penalty free today. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny to partly cloudy skies across the area for today, high temperatures will stay from the mid-70s to around 80. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies, overnight lows around 50 in Bozeman to the mid-50s in Billings. And then Saturday's forecast calls for more sunshine, with highs in the mid-70s in Bozeman to around 80 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Montanans might get mad if they see motorcycles doing this on the roadways. We've got that story at MontanaTalks.com. Plus, a new law addresses what's fair from the air when you're hunting in Montana. I think it's a drone story. And PETA responds following their staged events protesting a barbecue joint in Great Falls and then some downtown Billings restaurants as well. It's actually a pretty good response. You got to check it out, MontanaTalks.com, or get the app on your smartphone.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem, Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
Under the heading, It's About Time, the Southern Poverty Law Center, that bastion of virtue and arbiter of all that is moral and immoral in America, finally got around to labeling Focus on the Family as a hate group. And with that, Focus joins a long list of other miscreant organizations such as the American Family Association, Moms for Liberty, the Family Research Council, the American College of Pediatrics, and even the Montana Family Foundation. Our great sin, according to the SPLC, is our adherence to God-ordained biblical principles regarding marriage, family, gender norms, and parenting. According to them, we are anti-LGBT because we believe in traditional marriage, parental rights, keeping guys out of women's sports and out of women's private spaces such as restrooms and locker rooms. Obviously, I'm being facetious when I call the SPLC a bastion of virtue, but that's clearly how they see themselves. There's an old saying that you're known by your enemies, and if that's true, then we're happy to be opposed by the Southern Poverty Law Center. In their case, what began as a two-person law firm in 1971, focused primarily on fighting poverty, racial discrimination, and the death penalty, has morphed into a political behemoth with an annual budget of $170 million and an endowment somewhere north of $750 million. Their related organization, called the SPLC Action Fund, runs two political action committees with deep ties to the ACLU, the Democrat Party, and other left-leaning political groups. Those of us on their hate group list see it as a badge of honor. We've all been effective enough to be seen as a threat to their agenda, and in our opinion, that's a good thing. None of us hates anyone in the traditional sense of the word hate, but we all see the breakdown of the family as a threat to the health and safety of our kids and to society as a whole. Strong families make strong communities, and we're doing everything in our power to strengthen marriage and families. The SPLC running around screaming hate would actually be laughable if the consequences weren't so serious and in some cases potentially deadly. In 2010, the Poverty Law Center labeled the Family Research Council a hate group for their pro-family lobbying activities on Capitol Hill, the exact same activities carried out every day by the Montana Family Foundation. 2 years later, a man named Floyd Corkins, acting on the SPLC's lead, entered the Family Research Council's headquarters in Washington, D.C., and shot Leo Johnson, an unarmed security guard. Fortunately, Johnson survived the attack. During questioning by the FBI, Corkins was asked how he chose his target. He responded that the Southern Poverty Law Center lists anti-gay groups, and he found them online. He was subsequently found guilty and sentenced to 25 years in prison. Family Research Council President Tony Perkins criticized the SPLC for being reckless in labeling organizations as hate groups simply for disagreeing with them on public policy. We see this every day in the halls of the Montana Capitol. Lobbyists for groups like the ACLU, Planned Parenthood, and the Montana Human Rights Network routinely confuse simple opposition opposition with hatred. These are the antics of four-year-olds. To oppose is not to hate. It is simply to oppose. We applaud Focus on the Family for their strong support of marriage and families and for their excellent work finally being recognized by the Southern Poverty Law Center. In our opinion, it's about time. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofy reminding you that this government is your government and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
Fantastic legislative update there from Jeff Laszlofy. What a joke the Southern Poverty Law Center is. I was sort of glad to hear him talking about that because we all know, we've all heard of the SPLC. I'm surprised they haven't been sued into oblivion for defamation and libel for putting organizations like the Montana Family Foundation on their hate organization list. How can it be hateful to literally just support traditional families? Wild.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Economists and plenty of other people are worried about the future, as they should be. Inflation, taxes, government debt, national security. There are plenty of things to worry about, but it's useful sometimes to think about where we've been. And for the U.S. economy as a whole, it's been an exceptionally good performance. Back in the year 2000, the U.S. economy was about 20% smaller than the European Union, as Lynn Thoman said recently on our Three Takeaways podcast. Today, we're almost 30% bigger. Mississippi, the least wealthy state in the country, is wealthier than France today per capita. The U.S. remains the largest single market in terms of spending power in the world. Our risk tolerance, low levels of regulation and taxes, and especially our outsized tech sector have contributed to these outcomes. There are threats to this dominance, particularly from China, which trains six times as many engineers as we do. But we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that the American economic engine is unmatched for growing the economic pie we all share. I'm Patrick Barker.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.